Hey, it's Tuesday, May 27th, 2020. This is Beginner's Puck, a podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Hey, Deb.
Hey, Erica.
Where have you been? Where have I been?
Where have we all been?
At home, mostly.
But yeah, quarantining, doing the right thing. Well, actually, I have been working because I'm an essential employee.
You are essential.
I am essential, so I have been out and about doing my job, trying to socially distance like a responsible person, both at work and in the public. Some days it's hard. Mm-hmm. Some days it's hard to do that because people can be kind of jerks.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Which gives me pause because today we are talking about hockey is coming back. Mm-hmm. So they say.
Yes. Well, let's put it this way. Hockey has a plan for coming back.
Yes, mm-hmm. They do. And it seems like a somewhat reasonable plan under normal circumstances.
Yeah, these aren't normal circumstances.
These are not normal circumstances. I have concerns. I have many concerns. But before we start talking about the concerns, this is going to be a little bit of a different beginner's puck in that we're not here to educate you. We're not going to have a what the puck section or hashtag old hockey or any of that kind of stuff. We're just going to try to figure out what the hell Bettman said this afternoon. So it took us a little while to parse through it. I'm still not sure we have it down 100%, mm-hmm. but we figure we'll talk it through together. And hopefully by the end of this, we will all know what the plan is, not exactly what's going to happen because none of us can know mm-hmm. for sure, but what the general thoughts and plans were.
Yeah. And maybe more importantly, how we feel about those thoughts and plans, because there are plenty of other podcasts that you can listen to and, you know, talking heads who understand the ins and outs. But so far, and I listened to the announcement today, and then pretty much from the moment it ended on, I have been listening to, not like super closely, but it's been on in the room with me, hockey coverage from a variety of different talking heads and people with, you know, different thoughts and stuff about it. And nobody has looked at it at all from the perspective that I feel like I am coming from. It's very much just been specifics like, oh, you know, about the cities and the draft and like the specifics of it. And that is not mm-hmm. the stuff that I am thinking of when I think about all this stuff.
Not the stuff I'm thinking of either. Well, first of all, there's been a lot of conversation. The National Hockey League Players Association has been involved in negotiations. The owners, the GMs, lots of people have been talking for a long time about what to do, when to bring hockey back, what that season would look like when hockey came back.
Would it be the season, or would we just say the season's over and go straight
exactly.
into playoffs?
Exactly. So it seems like they hammered out somewhat of a plan. And just to give a very brief overview, the regular season, as we know it, is over.
Congratulations, Leon Draisaitl, on your Art yes. Ross Trophy.
Exactly. I haven't even looked at all of those meaningless awards yet. I can't
it's
wait to.
It's very meaningful,
they're fun.
Deb. It's going to an Edmonton Oiler. And in fact, number two on the list was also an Oiler. It's very important.
I'm sure it is. I'll have to go on the stats page today mm-hmm. because I got to be honest, I kind of broke up with hockey for a little while. It was really, I mean, I'm the type of person, I had the NHL Network on every morning in the car as I drove to work. I watched the NHL Network when I got home from work just to kind of catch up what was going on. I read the blogs. I followed a bunch of people, a bunch of hockey Twitter. And I just, it was just all so upsetting. And first of all, it was like the worst kind of speculation that you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. And as a Doctor Who fan, let me tell you, we are ace in speculation.
Yeah.
This outdid science fiction fans. And I kind of had to stop. It was really upsetting me. Not that hockey wasn't around or hockey wasn't coming back, but it was like one of those markers in a world turned upside down. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't pay attention to it anymore. I just really couldn't. I just kind of turned it off. I started listening to music in the morning. It was very calming.
Ah, nice.
But there's something concrete now. There's something concrete that we can chew on. Mm-hmm. And I did watch a little bit of the NHL Network tonight when I got home from work. Just a few minutes of it and of Bettman's announcement because, you know, I was obviously tied up during the day when it all happened. And it kind of felt good to talk about hockey again. That mm-hmm. part of it, like, I'm happy about. I'm mm-hmm. really happy
Oh, yeah. Like, talk about super mixed feelings. Just like the thought of hockey being back on TV that I can watch, even if it's different, even if it's weird, even if it's a setup that I don't completely get my head around. Like, you can't help the way your emotions work. And I just right. like had this little thrill of like, oh, my God, excitement. I'm torn because the stuff that nobody on the hockey media is talking about is the stuff that everybody on hockey Twitter is talking about is the stuff
exactly.
that kind of goes in the other direction and makes me go, why are we doing this?
Yeah. So it's okay to feel conflicted mm-hmm. and you don't feel guilty about that because you can't control your emotions. And as we are all hockey fans, there is going to be some excitement at the thought of the thing that we love coming back mixed in with some fear and trepidation and mm-hmm. maybe a little anger. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But as we started to say, the season as we know it has ended. So the standings mid-March when they called the pause to the season are standing. That's the stats. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, folks. There ain't no shifting around. You can't get those last minute points. Ovechkin's not going to break the record this year.
No.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things to be sad about that could have gone differently, but you know, and there's I'm sure looking at those standings and looking at those teams that were on the cusp of making it in, uh-huh. there's probably a lot of bitterness, and it's okay. Like I understand that. I'm sure if my team was one of those teams that was, you know, just a point or two out and had a shot, I'd be flipping tables too. Mm-hmm. I'd be upset.
Oh yeah, like I can't even imagine how I would feel if my team was on the cusp and then this happened and didn't make it. And obviously, yeah, there are more important things to be worried and angry about, but sometimes it's easier to be worried and angry about something like hockey than it is the giant, you know, giantness of everything else that there is to be worried and angry about. So,
yeah. And again, don't feel guilty about that.
Yep.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. You're just letting your emotions out. That is very healthy. It's fine. Please do it while standing 6 feet apart from someone else and wear a mask, but rant and rave all you want. It's all good. Okay. So what we do know is it looks like things are going to be rolled out in phases. And I know here, like New Jersey, like the Flyers practice facility is in New Jersey, and the New Jersey governor just announced that they were going to allow sports teams to begin practice at the discretion of their teams, obviously. And as long as they had protections in place. So that means the Flyers can actually, I think, as of next week, start training smaller groups and whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. And that even seems kind of unfair, too, because if you have a team that's in a state that's completely open and their players are allowed to do that, and you've got, like, what are the New York Rangers going to do? They're still on lockdown.
I feel like I heard that the NHL will have some specific rules about that, about, like, overall rules for, you know, how many players you can have practicing and, like, that sort of thing. So I think they are taking that into account, but I don't know that that was the focus of today's announcement. This is more just about, like, the playoff setup
right.
and that sort of thing.
Right. All right. So basically, very quickly, we are in phase one, which is the pause, the lockdown, mm-hmm. With teams having been instructed to self-isolate as much as possible. Early June, they're expecting teams will be permitted to return home facilities for small group voluntary on and off ice training. But not earlier than the first half of July will formal training camps begin. After guidance from medical and civil authorities. So again, there has to be something in place. So say come, the first half of July, New York City is still not in a phase where they're allowing that sort of thing to happen. They must be allowing them to go elsewhere and practice.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. Yeah.
They would have to do. Mm-hmm. And then in phase four, and this is a timing to be determined, 24 teams in two hub cities will compete in seeding round robins, a qualifying round, and a conference-based Stanley Cup playoff. Now, this is interesting because they have picked a Eastern Conference hub and a Western Conference hub, or they're going to be.
Maybe. That's not for sure.
Possibly.
Bettman actually right. said that it could be two in the West, could be two in the East. It's going to depend on basically COVID-19.
infection rates. You know, if you're having, you're not going to go to Chicago, obviously, if you're still spiking or, you know, your infection rates are up. And let's face it, we just had Memorial Day weekend here. We saw a lot of people behaving very badly, not doing the right thing. There is a very good chance you're going to start seeing some spikes in places that previously had infection rates
that were low
going down.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, like, I know measuring by county is not like the greatest way to do it, but Cook County, where Chicago is located, I believe has the most confirmed COVID-19 cases of any county in the entire country. So the fact that, I know this list is alphabetical and Chicago is first on the list because it's alphabetical, but still, like, that just jumped out at me like a sore thumb. You what now?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the other cities, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, your hometown, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. And obviously they selected these cities based not only on the potential of being low infection rates, but also facilities.
Yeah, that's, I feel like
hotels, practice facilities, that sort of thing.
And transportation. Yeah, I feel like that was actually much higher on the list than current amount of cases of COVID-19, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen by whenever phase four is. So, I mean, I can't really fault the NHL for saying, okay, what are the cities that actually have the facilities to make this happen? So for in places in, like, I know for sure in Toronto and Edmonton, there are hotels that are physically connected, like with tunnels, to the rink from the hotel. So, like, they wouldn't even necessarily have to go outside or interact with anybody else. And there's lots and lots of capacity and a practice arena that's also right there in the same building. And, you know, so facilities are probably the thing that they used the most to start with this list. So, which is fine. Although during the announcement, Gary Bettman said, you know, it's possibly that a couple other ones could sneak in there. So everything is very clearly still in flux. And if all of these cities just, you know, if everybody was dumb over Victoria Day and Memorial Day and they all spike, then yeah, maybe it'll be a couple other cities that sneak in under the radar.
Yeah, it might be. That's what it says. Secure hotel areas, arena, practice facilities, in-market transportation. So it also said, this is interesting, teams will be limited to 50 personnel in the hub city with only a small number of support staff permitted to enter the event areas. So you figure you have how many players on your team. So that's cutting it down a lot between coaching staff, equipment staff, your trainers, your, you know,
doctors,
physical therapists and doctors. Yeah. So that's going to be, that to me is really interesting how they're going to meet that challenge of trying to limit their staff down. But again, they're going to have to do that. And timing and sites will be determined at a future date, will be dependent on COVID-19 conditions, testing ability, and government regulations. So if you have, like right now, North Carolina is in a tiff with Trump because Trump is saying, you have to guarantee that we can hold the Republican National Convention and we're going to have full facilities. And the governor's like, welp, we kind of have to follow the science. You know, if you have a governor who's saying, sorry, we're not going to allow all these people to fly in from all over the country and the world because some players have gone back to their home countries, we don't think this is a good idea, then that could knock a city right off
and
contention.
It's entirely possible that all of the Canadian cities could get knocked off the list, because Gary Bettman actually said during the press conferences, during the press conference that, you know, they'll be looking at all those kinds of things, including if there's a 14-day quarantine in place. And currently, and I feel very, as a Canadian, I feel very good about this, currently anybody coming in from a foreign country is required to quarantine, self-isolate for 14 days, a minimum of 14 days. And the NHL is like, well, we don't want our players to have to do that if they are going to, you know, be playing in Canada. So it's possible that, and I hate the idea that the NHL is looking at that, I think, very wise requirement as a hurdle, like just as a it's an inconvenience for them.
Right.
I feel like the United States doesn't have anything remotely like that in place. which makes it look much better to the NHL, which to me, that makes it look much worse. Like, you really want to send all of your people, you know, 50 people per team, to a country that's not quarantining wise. This is so frustrating to me.
Yeah. So at 24 teams with 50 people, Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people.
Yep. And I know that I think he said that they were hoping to do, were they hoping to do one U.S.? I've heard so many people talk about so many things today. I can't remember if it was Gary Bettman that said he was hoping for one in Canada and one in the States. I don't think he did. I think that was somebody else.
Yeah, could be. So basically, so that's the idea of what's going to happen. Now, to break that down a little bit further, in phase one, we're entering into phase two. There's another phase one. That's a phase for playing. We have phases for the draft lottery
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, to get back to this round, what they're going to do is they have the top four teams in each conference. Based on points.
No, it's not based on points. No? It's based on win percentage, I believe.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Am I not right? Because I feel like if it was points, Edmonton would be up there and we're not. So,
huh.
Yeah.
I just assume those points because I'm looking at the, of course, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference and that's,
well, maybe it,
that has.
Or maybe that is correct. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because we were neck and neck with Washington for, like, we were a percentage of a point out, like one shootout from taking over from Washington as the first in the Metro. And then you have Boston and Tampa Bay. So maybe it's not. All right, I'm going to have to look into that because I'm making some assumptions just based on my own team that I have to clarify that because it doesn't say in the it doesn't say in the press release, mm-hmm. but basically what they're going to do is they're going to do round robins for seeding for the top however they selected the top four teams in the East and top four teams in the West. So they're going to have like their own little mini tournament to figure out the seeding. And then you're going to have the rest of the teams do a tournament. So it's going to be like seeded based on, I don't even know how the hell they're going to do this. I got to be honest. I'm looking at this and like there's percentage points and there's ranks mm-hmm. and there's conference things and blah, 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 blah. Because they have the conference rank, they have the Edmonton Oilers as fifth.
Yes. Okay. So that it is points. Yeah. It's win percentage, not points, because okay. it has Oilers as fifth and it's got the Stars as fourth, correct?
Right.
Yes. And actually, I'm just looking at the points. The Stars have 82 points. The Oilers have 83 points. So it's definitely okay. not ranked based on points.
Right. So it's the win percentage because yep. the percentage is 0.594 for Dallas and 0.585 for Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is the win percentage.
Yeah, which is
that
like,
makes sense.
Fine. It's annoying, but fine.
Well, I guess it makes a point that if you were in a tougher conference mm-hmm. or a weaker conference,
and not everybody played kind of the same number of games. So
yeah. So all right. So it does make sense. So anyway, the top four teams are going to battle out for seeding position. Once that is sorted out, then you're going to have everybody thrown into a regular tournament. The seeding round was interesting. They're going to have regular season rules as far as overtime and shootouts. But once you get into the regular play, it's going to be playoff rules. So. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay, so then we get into the phases for the draft lottery. So the draft lottery is going to be conducted on June 26. Now,
phase one.
phase one. This is going to be complicated because obviously we don't know what everybody's positions are going to be. We don't know what everybody's ending stats are going to be because mm-hmm. the draft lottery is rolling, but we haven't finished the season yet. So we don't even know how everybody's going to end up in the rankings. Mm-hmm. So what they did, which I think is kind of clever, is they took the bottom seven teams and said, you guys aren't playing anyway, so you're in the draft lottery.
Yep.
And then they assigned, eight teams. Right, that are just called Team A, Team B, Team C, Team D, Team E, F, Team G, H. So what they're going to do is they are going to hold the draft lottery on June 26. And if all of the first three draws are won by these teams that are already named and in the bottom, then we're good and they'll do the rest of the draw after everything falls out. If they don't.
Yeah, if team one of those, Team A or Team F or something like that pops up
right.
in one of the top three.
then they have to wait until after the season is concluded, or not the season, the playoffs are all concluded, mm-hmm. all the whatever rounds are doing, and then whatever team that is gets that draw. So it's kind of weird, like somebody's drawing for you, like you don't get that moment where you get to go up and draw the ball mm-hmm. to find out what it is.
Yep.
I guess it's anonymous NHL person will do that.
Mm-hmm. But if, so. As I understand it, if you get an actual team at number one and, you know, team F at number two, and then mm-hmm. an actual team at number three, the teams at one and two, the actual number teams at one and two, they get to keep those places. Like that,
yes,
that will be their
they
place.
Get to keep them.
And then, like, you know, team F is the team that has like the 13th ranked and has 2% odds of winning the draft lottery, that, you know, that wouldn't be decided until after the fact. So,
yeah. So the draft lottery odds are like always a mystery to me mm-hmm. anyway. That's like some voodoo science that I can never quite figure out how that works. But I thought this was kind of interesting. Like, how do you go ahead and do that when, you know, without waiting until, you know, God knows when the season can play? Because right now they're looking at obviously the draft lottery is happening in June. Training camps are starting in the first half of July, and they're looking at the timing where the teams start playing. I mean, that's TBD. They're not even talking about that yet. I mean, they're thinking August sometime mm-hmm. that they're actually going to start seeing play, like this actual tournament play.
If they're lucky.
So if they're lucky. Okay. So that's how, this is the proposal. This is what they're saying. This is how we're going to bring hockey back. I don't disagree that it is a bad plan.
Wait, that had too many negatives in it.
Okay, I don't necessarily disagree that it isn't a bad plan. I think it's an okay plan for bringing hockey back.
Now I get it.
I just don't know whether it's a smart plan for bringing hockey back at all. Mm-hmm. And here's my biggest concern. First of all, as we saw, people are dumb. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen. But that's fine, because you could always, like, everything at the drop of a hat, we could just say, sorry, we just can't do it. Mm-hmm. There's too many infection rates. But there was a stipulation that I was reading, you know, how they were going to do this. And players would be responsible for reporting symptoms, and they would be tested every, you know, couple days or whatever. And I thought, let's talk about hockey culture for a second. Mm-hmm. Hockey culture where you are praised for finishing playing your game on a broken leg, or mm-hmm. taking a few minutes to get your jaw taped shut because it's been shattered, and going out with a cage on and finishing playing your game. And then coming back and playing the next couple games too, because it's the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, people will call you a warrior and a hero.
So if you're telling me that if you're in the Stanley Cup playoffs and, you know, it's a really critical game and you start maybe feeling, I kind of got something going on, can we trust the hockey guys who've been brought up to battle through adversity, where no pain, no gain, and you are literally a hero if you put your body on the line? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be able to fight that culture?
And even, you know, even if we do decide, okay, we trust them to be honest because this is a big deal, there's one thing about, like, you know, trusting somebody's active, conscious mind, but I think there's also a lot to be said for how you can not even notice when your body is, like, yes. You know, if you're coming down with something and you're in the middle of something really big, you might not even notice those signs of starting to get sick because you are just simply distracted. And sometimes, like, the early symptoms of being sick with, you know, with anything can make you feel like you can't even notice it because it's not actually making you feel super terrible or anything. So, and then, you know, that's not even to mention the fact that you can be asymptomatic for a very long time, possibly for the entire run of the disease that you have.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, and here's the thing, like, I don't want to assign malicious intent to anybody mm-hmm. who would willingly say, I have COVID-19. I know I have COVID-19. I'm going to go out and I'm going to affect all the refs, all the training staff, mm-hmm. all of my team, all the other team. I don't believe anybody is that malicious. I really don't. Mm-hmm. However, like, I can't tell you how many times you know, allergy season started, I was taking my temperature all the time because is it allergies or is it something else? And you get to, then you start getting to the point where like, of course it's allergies. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Or like you said, you're so focused on it. You're so focused on a goal and your body is kind of beaten up anyway. Yeah, you kind of talk yourself out of symptoms being exactly what they are. So it's worrisome, like that whole culture where, and do you want to be the guy who runs and gets his temperature checked every single day because you have a little bit of a tickle? Like, you know what I mean? There's this really...
They probably won't have a choice for that, though, I hope.
Yeah. Well, there's like this hyper-masculine culture around where you don't want to be seen as weak. Like, I'm thinking about Max Domi, who, don't get me wrong, I cannot stand Max Domi. But, you know, his health is compromised with diabetes. And, you know, what does he do?
Mm-hmm. Especially
does he take that chance?
Especially since... COVID-19 has been shown to have some really awful contraindications for people with some existing diseases and disorders. Diabetes is one of those. Like, if, you know, it's bad if anybody gets it. If Max Domi gets it, it could be like super, super bad. And we don't even know about, like, this is still new enough that we are only still just learning about what the lasting effects are. Even if you get through it, you get over it, and you're quote unquote fine, they're just starting to figure out that there are many like problems with other like organ systems, lungs especially, but like even other things might possibly be
heart conditions.
So I mean, every single player who decides to go and do this is possibly giving up the rest of their career to play in this one short, like theoretically, like I know it's an outside chance, but theoretically giving up the rest of their career, because if they come down with COVID-19 and happen to be one of that tiny percentage that does have something, you know, lasting heart disease, lung capacity, something like that, any of those, like those kinds of things could keep them from playing for the rest of their career. And like, you know, I'm just thinking of my beloved Oilers baby boys and like any one of them, I can't imagine not being able to watch them continue playing hockey for the rest of their lives because they're so little and wee and baby and young. They have a longer, like my team is very young. They have a long, long a long future ahead of each and every one of them, I hope. And as much as I really do want to see hockey again, like new, meaningful, exciting hockey on my TV again, it's not as important to me as it is to be able to see every single one of these baby boys be able to continue playing.
Right. And you're thinking, okay, so Max Domi plays for the Montreal Canadiens. Can you imagine him stepping down and saying, like, what would the fan reaction be?
Oh my God. They would burn that him in like, effigy.
They would. So there's a lot of these very personal decisions. And I know, what did Bettman say? You know, he said something and he addressed that. And I saw the quote roll across my Twitter and I can't find it. But, you know, he understood there would be some players who are asthmatic or who would be more compromised. But he anticipated that or expected, you know, every able-bodied player to play.
Yeah.
And again, like that.
Able-bodied.
Yeah, that's like, wait a second. What are you saying? Are you saying that I'm not able-bodied? Or
and wasn't there, yeah, I feel it, like there was... one player who has like a 5-month-old kid who has a baby that has some sort of lung condition and has just said, no, I'm not going to play. I can't remember who that was, but that was one of the things that I heard go past.
Right. Are you sacrificing your career? Are you like that guy who the coaching staff is going to say, well, you're not dependable. You can't do this. And yeah, it's really hard. And I mean, not even talking about how they're going to institute play with, I mean, hockey players are gross. They're always spitting all over things, you know? They're just nasty. So, like, what protections are going to be put in place just in general? You know, we don't know if fans are going to be allowed yet in arenas. You know, there's lots and lots of unanswered questions, but there's just so much of hockey culture that is ingrained to do the exact opposite of what needs to be done that I'm finding it concerning.
Yes. Yeah. It's scary. Yeah.
It is scary. But
I have other issues.
We don't
know
anything.
But that's like the big one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, part of me is like, I got a little bit of excited. Like hockey's coming back. Mm-hmm. Like there's an announcement. And then I started like all these thoughts were cascading because like I said, I mean, we have turned, we have turned protecting ourselves and each other from COVID-19 into a political issue, into a battleground of, you know, are you scared? If you're scared, stay home. It's better to live than to give up life. Or, you know, congratulations. This is my favorite one that I'm seeing. You know, so-and-so has contracted COVID-19 and you hear this flood of responses. Well, congratulations. He has a 98.9% chance of surviving. And it's like, but what about the people he lives with? What about the people they're coming in contact with? What about the woman they bump into on the street? You know, it's...
Yeah, yeah. That concerns me. 2% or 98% survival rate means like, what is it? Something like 6 million people in the United States would die. Like, you're okay with 6 million people dying?
Yes, because they're not the good people, Erica. They're the old people, the infirm people, and the minorities. Mm-hmm. So yes, there is a large swath of this country who were very worried about COVID-19 until they realized that they weren't going to be the ones dying.
Got
bitter real fast.
Well, I knew it was going to, because the next thing I'm bitter about is the idea that the NHL necessarily will have to be, during all this, doing a whole lot of testing. So much testing. And like, what is that going to do? And Bettman over and over again said, you know, we need to be able to do testing without impacting, you know, the medical community and the needs of the medical community. And I am very, very skeptical as to whether or not that can actually be done. Because, yeah, of course, the NHL is going to have to pay for all of the testing. That's, you know. Mm-hmm. But what is that going to do to the price of testing, like test kits? Like, that could very easily drive the prices up for everybody. And you can say, oh, sure, we're gonna be careful about that, we're gonna take care of that. I don't have a lot of faith in the NHL as an organization. You know, it's a bunch of billionaires who have time and time again prioritized profits over safety again and again. So why won't they do that again this time, especially since all of them are seeing their bottom lines, you know, just plummeting.
Crater.
Yeah. At this point, I think, you know, everybody's desperate to get back at any cost because they don't want to lose any more. And I'm sorry, I have no sympathy whatsoever for the billionaires who are, you know, going to be having slightly fewer billions after this is all done. I would much rather all those, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of tests go to, you know, random people on the street. Like, is there going to be hockey on and I'm still not going to be able to visit my family? Like, is that a thing? You know, hockey players are considered essential, or and just, you know, sports figures, I guess, according to what was it? Homeland Security said that they're considered essential workers so that they can travel into and out of the country. What about female athletes? Are women hockey players considered essential, or is this just the boy millionaires? Like, how are we doing this?
Mm-hmm. I'm growling. All right. So that's kind of where we stand. We have a date. We have one solid date. June 26th, there will be a draft. They've been talking about this a long time. I am sure that there is a contingency plan in place should they not be able to do this playoff format. Like, say it all goes toes up, we get a second wave and things start shutting down again, of who Team F is going to be and how they're going to manage that. We don't know what that is yet, but the draft is going to happen regardless. There's some formula in place that's the backup plan to this. This is the plan that we're seeing. So we will definitely have a draft.
Well, if the draft lottery. And then
draft lottery.
And then followed by the draft at some point.
Exactly. We don't have a date for the draft yet, but there will be a draft this year. That's, you know, even if
not skipping that.
Blades don't touch the ice again until 2021, there will be a draft.
And that's the thing that it boils down to, is I am not convinced that any of this is actually going to happen. So just because I know what people are like, you know, I've read probably too much about the flu in 1918, and yes, you know, oh, everything's getting better, so we'll open everything back up, and then the second wave is worse than the first wave, and like, it would be really nice if we learned from history and managed to avoid that. But
it's history.
I feel like there's I'd say 50-50 chance that this doesn't happen. Like, to me, it's a coin flip, because I feel like things could get worse in enough places that it's not going to be possible.
Yeah, we are. I mean, Philadelphia, we're a hotbed. We're a hot mess of a hotbed. And cases have been declining slightly, but it's like we just all got tired of this and decided it was going away.
Yeah.
Just like we've had enough. It's over now. It's not over now. We managed it. We did exactly what we needed to do. We flattened that curve. Mm-hmm. Cases have gone down, but the police had to break up a giant block party this weekend in Philadelphia.
Oh my God.
And the shores are open and people aren't socially distancing on the boardwalks. And yeah, it's... And people are saying it's my choice on how what I want to do and how I want to live. And that's fine, except you're just going to get us all put back in timeout. And that's going to be no fun for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm with you. I am not 100% convinced because human nature has shown me this past few weeks mm-hmm. of how cavalier people some people can be and how distrustful people are of science, which I find perplexing.
Yeah. And I'm also as a person who lives in a city that is on this list, I am also conflicted just when it comes to that idea. Like, okay, say this is going to happen and it's going to happen in one of those cities. Do I want it to be my city? I feel so strongly yes and no, both at the same time,
mm-hmm.
because like, you know, like everywhere, economies are tanking. Edmonton's economy ain't doing great because everything's been closed. That's not, you know, we're not alone in that.
And there was that whole thing where the oil just like went under.
Oh, yeah. And like our whole province's economy is totally boom and bust. It is completely based on the price of oil. And for a while there, oil prices were literally negative. They would give you money to take oil off of their hands. It's kind of how it worked. So basically our economy is really, really, really in the toilet. So having all of that action come into Edmonton, even though people wouldn't be probably coming to games and buying tickets and popcorn and stuff, you would have, you know, 50 people per team coming in, getting hotel rooms and, you know, having to eat food and drink and all that kind of stuff. So it would definitely help my local economy. And hey, my spouse works for the Oilers Entertainment Group doing replay. I have no idea if they would need his services or not. But like, probably they would because like players look at the screen all the time. It's not just for the audience. But you know, maybe they wouldn't. But I mean, if they did, that would be much better for the bottom line of my household because, you know, we took a hit when hockey stopped. And then on the other hand, that's a lot of people coming into my city, which currently I think Edmonton has fewer than 60 active cases right now.
And Lord.
Yeah. And for a city that's like a million people, that's pretty good. We've worked really hard, my city has, to keep it as low as possible. And this could completely screw with that. And I mean, they've started to do some testing and research on the way the virus travels, like through air conditioning and like restaurants and stuff, like tracing the mm-hmm. path of it. I don't know that anybody has done any work like that in hotels yet, but hotel circulation, if you put that many people, like right now, most hotels are not super full of people because people aren't traveling that much. If you
right.
if you take, you know, one hotel and completely fill it up with the NHL and a couple people get sick, how are they actually going to isolate other people, you know, in terms of like what are the chances? I know it's not airborne. I know it is droplet transmission. But still, like, you worry.
Yeah. We just had 475 new cases today. And that's low. That's the lowest we have been since, I'm looking at this graph, since March. Oh, gosh. Is it March 24th?
Oh, my God. I think yesterday the entirety of Alberta had 19 new cases.
Yeah, we've had 5,100 deaths.
Oh.
Yeah, and we've had...
And that's just Philadelphia?
Just Philadelphia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think we're at like 120 or something like that for Alberta. Which, you know, and then there's a little bit of me that's like, okay, if places in the United States are that much higher, maybe they will decide that they want to play in Canadian cities. If Canadian cities are doing better, because I know we're not super far ahead of Calgary right now. But yeah, then there's that 14 days at the border thing that they keep circling back to.
No, I take that back. We have had, that was for Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We've had 21,738 confirmed cases and 1,243 deaths. But that number still, is...
That's a lot of people who probably didn't need to die.
Yeah, that is, and we have severely underreported our cases. Severely underreported.
Yeah, let's hope the NHL, when they're looking at this, is not just looking at the numbers, the raw numbers of the cities that they are considering, mm-hmm. but are also looking at how much testing and like how good their testing and tracing capacity is in each of these locations. Because yeah. now, like in Calgary, they're actually doing voluntary asymptomatic testing. If you wanna just mm-hmm. go in and get tested, you can do that.
Yeah. Pretty good. All right. Here's the other question I have for you before we wrap this up. Mm-hmm. Say you win. Say your team wins this season. Does it count as legitimate win for fans, or is it always going to be that asterisk mark season?
Oh, it'll. I think it was the Tim and Sid show, which is where Gary Bettman appeared. But it was after he was off, and one of their viewers was asking them like just to do a poll to say asterisk or no asterisk. And I'm like, how can you not put an asterisk next to this season? Even if the Oilers did win the Stanley Cup, I would want that freaking asterisk there because this is not normal. It just isn't.
Nope, it is not. It's not a normal season. It's not a normal anything. Yeah, it's always going to be like, we were so close, Erica. We were so close to being one, the first in the Metro. And honestly, the Metro League was literally the Hunger Games uh-huh. for a while because everybody, we were just battling for every single point. It was so close, so good, so tight, and we clawed our way almost to the top. By a mere percentage, we missed it. And I would love for us to come back and win everything. We were playing so well, but it's always going to feel like a hollow victory because it wasn't a full season, and it just feels mm-hmm. I mean, it would be great and I would celebrate it and it would be wonderful, but it would always be like, okay, when can we win the real season? You know?
Yeah, which is, you know, I mean, I think for me, I don't feel like it would feel hollow necessarily. I feel like it would feel different. It would be like a different mm-hmm. kind of victory. I'd still be pretty excited about it. But
oh, yeah, I'd be totally mm-hmm. excited. But then I'd want to win again so we get a real one.
Yeah. Yes, that is true. Which, you know, and probably a lot of people would feel like that. And some people would probably feel like, yeah, whatever. And that just seems to me to be more fuel to just not even bother, like just play it safe and just let everybody stay in, and like, you know, unless somebody develops a magical cure in, and I'm not saying vaccine because I know vaccines take a very long time, I'm talking literally a magical cure from a unicorn riding a rainbow shows up
at dawn
shows up and gives us a cure, then sure, yes, exactly, go for it. Game on.
Yeah. Mixed feelings all around, I think.
Very. The most mixed. None more mixed.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will keep a weather eye on this. Mm-hmm. And once it comes back, I imagine we'll be talking about summer hockey, which is just so weird.
That does feel wrong. Although I have to say that if that happens, it's probably going to be like the most chill about having to go to Edmonton, like if it happened here, that NHL players would like ever feel. Because usually hockey season is, you know, the bitterest of cold winters here in Edmonton, and players complain about having to go here because they don't want to walk outside to even go get food or anything. And you can walk outside now and the wind does not hurt your face. So it's only going to get, you know, warmer from here.
That's true. You know, I didn't see Winnipeg on that list.
That's true.
People would probably be really excited to go to Winnipeg in July, right? As opposed to January. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Well, this has been fun. So I'm really curious to hear what our listeners, remember, if we have listeners
still,
if this pops up on your podcast feed and you happen to listen and say, oh, they're still alive, drop us a tweet and let us know how you feel about this season, because or the plans and the phases and the hub cities and just what are your emotions? Because I know we're all over the place.
Is there anything that we missed in our little hiatus that you really, really wish we had been around to cover? I'm not going to promise that we'd be able to come back and talk about anything because life is weird and tough right now, but it, you know, it wouldn't hurt to let us know.
That would be. We missed a whole bunch of stuff.
We missed
people being fired for being racists.
Yep.
We missed just lots of bad behavior. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. People letting go because of their Instagram DMs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a whole lot of hockey scandal that seemed like it happened an entire lifetime ago that we just never covered.
Because every week is 5 million years right now.
It's true. We are rocketing through. It does. Like, even our last episode was the CarCast in February.
And that seemed like, I feel like we've been on hiatus for like a year. But February was that long ago.
February, we flew to Los Angeles, Erica, and then we drove.
That's right.
Well, I would say a crowded stadium, but it really wasn't. No.
It felt super crowded compared to my world right now. It was still very, very crowded.
That's true. Mm-hmm. People were practicing their social distancing, then they just didn't even realize it.
Burn.
Then we flew home on airplanes through airports that were crowded. Doesn't that seem like
a different world? Like
different world.
You know, they say the past is a different country. Now it really, really is.
It really does. And it wasn't that long ago.
Nope.
We did all those things. So
see, and that just goes to show you it changes so fast. So I salute the NHL for coming up with this plan, because you know that's what you got to do. You're a business. You got to plan for things.
You got to have a plan.
So I salute them for coming up with a plan. I feel like you said, it's a fine plan. But life comes at you fast, especially now. So I hope that they are realizing that. What is the thing about planning and God laughing? Like, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, just got to be able to pivot.
Yeah.
And pivot hard. And I have to think that they do have that plan.
I think so.
Because they've lived through a million scenarios.
Yep.
I mean, this is what hockey players do. This is what stats people do. Mm-hmm. This is what business owners do. I mean, you just go through all the scenarios. You come up with every single contingency you can possibly think of. And now they're coming up with contingencies we never thought mm-hmm. we'd ever have to think of. I mean, who would have thought this? Yep. But yeah. So anyway, like Erica said, if there was something that we didn't cover back in those long misty days long ago of hockey, 2019, 2020, drop us a tweet. Let us know. Well, maybe we'll be able to poke at it, because I'm starting to get a little hockey juice flowing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ditto.
Even if it's just watching the train wreck and to see where it all happens, where it all lands.
Yep.
I got to be honest, I'm kind of glad Philadelphia's not on that list.
You don't have to be torn.
I don't have to be torn, because it would be tempting if they're like, well, we're opening it up to like a quarter capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my face. This is a conflicted face. Uh-huh. I don't know. Probably not.
I still wouldn't.
But still.
Right now, okay, it's May. Things happen fast and things change. But right now I'm saying, even if they open it up to like, you know, a lottery for 100 people to go and sit and watch, like, would I even enter that lottery? I don't think so. I don't think I would want to do it.
I would get a hazmat suit from work and think about it. I would think about it. I miss hockey. I miss it. All right. Well, at least we have given all the hockey talking heads something meaty to chew on.
Yeah, that's
true. For the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks, I guess, until it's actually a month, almost exactly a month.
It is, that's right.
Until June 26th. So for the next 4 weeks, we will see this plan sliced, diced, chopped, flipped around, smacked upside the bottom, and looked at a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So we'll all be really tired of it come June 26th.
Yes, we will.
To do something already. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. This has been Beginner Puck. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter @BeginnersPuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.